Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast, a podcast for people who want to sell differently. Playmakers wage war against traditional sales and win. Remember, success is just one play away.
We're live here. We got a cool guest. We're going to be talking about something that's been on my mind lately. I know there's often things on my mind, but this carries a little bit more weight. We're always looking at different pillars of cadence. You know, probably a year ago, if you were listening to the podcast or you were listening to me, I was talking about some of the basic pillars around phone and voicemail and email and social. We've had some other pillars really come online. And we've seen a big trend happen with high-impact mailers and then texting and all-around kind of mobile phone usage. And so my mind's been kind of – my wheels have been spinning, and I'm like, who can I talk to? And then lo and behold, the light comes on in my mind, and I think Mike Vandenbos, you know, a good friend of mine. I consider Mike actually a friend. Some of these guys I say – you know, I pull them onto the podcast and I'll actually say, truthfully, I'm not, if you listen to the Coca Sexton articles, like truthfully, Coca and I aren't really, we're not really friends, but I consider Mike actually a friend. We ran into each other 4 years ago at Dreamforce. Was it four, Mike, or three? Three, four.
Four years ago, but I got to do a little bit of a sidebar for because we ran into each other. The way we ran into each other was I'm just kind of checking out Dreamforce, walking the aisles. And this GQ guy pops out in front of me GQ. Out of nowhere. I don't know. Yeah. He goes, hey, man, how's the show going? You know, what are you picking? It's like he starts engaging with me like he's my buddy. I'm like, it's going well. Yeah. And
I'll never forget it, right? Because you actually like were running by our booth. And I was like, hey, hold on. Hey, wait a second. I think I said some cheesy line like, man, they got me roped into this booth here. What's the coolest kind of thing you've seen out there? I pulled you in with some gimmicky line and you fell for it.
I fell for it, and then I looked at his shirt and I saw the inside sales logo and I saw the booth. I go, okay, you got me for 5 minutes and I'm out of here. And then, you know,
it was like an hour.
Later, they signed a big,
that's right. Yeah, I think we talked for an hour.
It worked. And inside sales is it's been a great product for our team. So I like to share that story, Gabe, because you know, when it comes to B2B sales, if you follow a lot of the research, like the Challenger sale, you're buying the person as well,
yeah,
right? Because yeah, that person represents, they are the product. You don't know who the product is, but you know who that person is. So that's a big part of our talk today is that texting, it's this way, it's a very personal medium. Yes, it is the high priority medium, but it's very intimate. It's the closest medium we have.
Right, man. Texting. This is going to be fascinating because Mike and I have been going back and forth, and we'll get into that in just a minute. So, Mike, one thing I got to tell you, I'm looking at your LinkedIn right now, and I'm feeling like your picture on LinkedIn is a little younger than you actually are. Is that true? Can we do something about that? Or what do you have to say?
Good question. Let's move on.
So, Mike has an interesting title. He's actually called the Entrepreneur in Residence at ZipWhip. Mike, I probably wouldn't do it justice. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the things you guys are doing over there at ZipWhip?
Sure. Well, I've been on this rocket ship for about 5-6 years now. John Lauer, the CEO, was a friend of mine that I knew through Founder Institute, which was a kind of a startup incubator. Founder Institute, a guy named Dale Resi started it back, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. They're now in like, I don't know, 80 countries. And they are they kind of sit between Startup Weekend and Techstars. It's a great way for their dream company, but keep their day job. So right. I did that for about 3 years and I met Lauer. He was one of our mentors and he'd come in and speak to the founders a couple times a year, intrigued by his vision. 2000 and I guess 9 and 10, he was saying that ZipWhip one day would become the texting platform, you know, the gorilla in the space. Mm. And lo and behold, I believe that's what ZipWhip has attained now because they took a different approach to texting. They looked at it that when you engage with someone, you know, with a business over texting, it should be akin to mobile to mobile, Gabe. Like if you and I were texting, hey, you know, you're going to meet you at the Mariners game. It's personal, it's relational, it's brevity. And so ZipWhip approached texting from a very relational centric, you know, person-to-person approach. And I think that's what helped us win contracts with the phone operators. And I think that's significant because later on in our podcast, we'll talk about how knowing if your prospect is using a mobile phone or a landline, that's critical.
Yeah. So ZipWhip, you guys, I mean, it's been pretty fast growth, right? Can you give us how many employees you have now? I mean, years ago it was kind of small. You guys have gotten big up there in the Seattle area, correct?
Yeah. When we met, Gabe, I think we had maybe 15 employees. Now we're up to 150. And wow. what's really fueled the rocket ship, besides good VC money, got some great partners there, but there's just, you know, the market has moved in our favor, and that kind of ties into when you follow the research, you know, like here's some interesting statistics. Over 80% of people use text messaging for business, and 15% said that more than half of their messages are for business purposes. Mm. So over the last 3 or 4 years, there's been this overwhelming tipping point of people saying, hey, I'm cool with you texting me. In fact, I prefer it because it allows me to multitask. I get to control the pace of the conversation, and it's not as invasive or time consuming as a phone call.
Yeah. I mean, texting is coming on super fast. Before we get into the juice though, Mike, I got to ask you, typically we put people on the spot outside of work. What are you known for? Any hobbies, embarrassing moments, things you'd only admit behind closed doors?
Gabe, that's why I love working with you. So I would say what I'm known for, I'm a goofball. But I've got an overwhelming case of ADD. So ideas come out
to me. That's so true. And that's so true.
Now that I'm getting so kind of old and ugly here, these ideas, I have to decipher them because a lot more come at me. My mind is still young. And I really love innovation. I love the startup tech space. I love people who take risk, you know, kind of ready, fire, aim. And, you know, on a personal side, I love being married 13 years. I live in Olympia. My family's here. And I'm a big golfer, although I don't play golf anymore. I'm still a big golfer. I love paddleboarding. And I love summer days. I'm in Seattle right now. It's about 80 degrees.
That's the only time to be in Seattle, they say, right? I mean, I got a brother up there in Bellevue, I think. And he said, so whether this is the time to be up there. I got to admit, you are right. I mean, of all the people I've known, every time I talk to you, Mike, I mean, he's got ideas, man. This guy's got ideas. If somebody wants to make some moolah, you take Mike out to lunch, take one of his ideas and execute on it, you'd probably be a millionaire. I mean, he's obviously a millionaire, but you might be able to steal some of his goodness. So Mike, let's go into texting because, man, we got meat here. We don't have milk. We got meat. And because we have so much meat, we got to get into this. But this hit my radar because we did a study. It's been a quarter or two. We asked 463 busy decision makers how likely they were to respond to different modes of communication. Now, you know, truthfully, mobile phones dominated. I mean, they beat landlines by almost 30%. And 59% of sales executives who responded to the survey said they were using mobile phones in the prospecting process. And I just thought, oh, my goodness. What's going on with mobile? What's going on with texting? So my mind's been kind of on it, but I don't know the ins and outs of it. So I wanted to kind of put you on the spot and maybe you can just kind of set us up and say, okay, what is the background of text? What's this history of texting? What's going on with texting, mobile? Give us kind of the lay of the land.
Cool. So regarding, texting being used in the business environment, sales, marketing, customer support, back in the day, texting started with what's called a short code. And if you watched American Idol and Seacrest said, okay, text, 91919, yes or no, your favorite singer. Yeah. That's the short code. You can't call a short code. You can only text it.
Okay.
And so the carrier, that's an important distinction. The phone carriers, they set up a short code to protect the 10-digit number from being spammed. They did not want to happen to texting what happened to email. How much of our email we get is spam and junk? Spam, over 90% easily. I've probably got 12,000 unopened emails in my Gmail account. Texting, I get almost zero spam and I have no unopened messages because the culture of texting is like, hey man, if I shot you a text, get back to me, to let me know because it doesn't take long to get back to me. And it's brief, 160 characters or, some applications go up to 250. So texting is a very intimate medium. The phone operators knew they had lightning in a bottle when texting started to become used for commerce, business. And so they started out with the short code. And our CEO, by the way, was a pioneer in that space. And so, but Zipwhip came along and said, hey, we want texting to be person to person. We want it to be no different than if you're like a friend talking to another friend over your mobile phones. And so this, I don't know how true this is, but there's a kind of a theory here that I think in 2003 or four, the carriers got together and they said, hey, let's stop billing one another for texting because that's really complicated and it's costing us a lot of money. Let's do bill and keep. So bill and keep allowed the carriers to scale texting exponentially because now they didn't have to worry about it. And they started offering these unlimited texting plans. Remember, that was back in 03, 04, 05.
Yes,
and
texting
exploded. And so,
yeah, because it used to be, what was it? It was like 10 cents a text. I mean, they used to charge by the text or 250, you got, you know, X dollars or something. That used to be on my plan back in the day. I remember that.
Yep. So when that happened, that created a window of opportunity for the carriers, and then texting became huge. And we like to say texting is the original social media because you can use it for group, but it's that digital contact point that it's the most social you can get because it's so intimate. Yet it can go broad as well.
Well, yeah, that is interesting, and we may go down a couple rabbit holes, but let's hit this one first. Because, I mean, is it even texting? I mean, I'm an iPhone guy here, and it's now iChat, right? I mean, we're almost like instant messaging back and forth rather than even texting. I mean, do you see kind of a difference there, or do you kind of say that's just all texting?
No, that's a great distinction, Gabe, because chat, I like to say, is more of a synchronous experience because typically. You have to keep attention, right? Or the agent will close the session or the salesperson will close the session because chat requires attention. Whereas texting, once you send a text, you can get on with your life and you can respond the next day.
Mm.
Whole different thing as far as web chat. Okay. Maybe there's some, we're using some words here for the same purpose, but I like to point that out because if some people on your podcast are thinking, should we use texting for customer engagement or for, helping with support? Texting is by far and away, I think, a better channel than chat because it allows the customer to control the experience, whereas chat, the agent does, and they say, hey, are you still there? Because I'm going to time out.
Yeah, that's right. It kind of was a closed cycle process there. So, I mean, you're in the texting space in general, and I think it was even pre-show, you were talking a little bit about some just general stats about people and their involvement in texting. Any kind of things out there that shows the movement towards the mobile or towards texting that you have in your back pocket?
Well, the research, Forrester, Pew Internet, they, when you look at the response rate of texting compared to email and voice, which I think, most of the sales enablement platforms out there, they're email centric or voice centric, right?
Sure.
We've got tons of call tracking and call recording. And then, email is everything for Tout or Pardot. So let's look at the open rates and the response rate. So Mobile Marketing Watch says that text messages have a 98% open rate, while email only has a 20% open rate. Okay.
Mm.
Mobile Marketing Watch. That's close to a 500% difference. Okay. So there's really no comparison. Okay. A 45% response rate, while email only has a 6% response rate. That's another bit of research that's out there that's been documented. Now, depending, of course, stats can say anything. And what we're interested in is in the sales cycle, how does texting impact? If texting has a 98% open rate, and some other research says that texting has a 90% response rate inside of 4 minutes.
Wow.
So if a salesperson does reach out to someone, a prospect, then we think that the culture of texting will actually play in the sales account executive advantage because when you get a text message, it's an open box, right? It's not like a ring. Who's calling me now?
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
Because most mobile phones, texting is that carrier native app. You don't even have to download. It's just, it comes pre-packaged with it. So everybody is trained to get a text message an intelligent, crafty account executive, kind of like what your guys did with using the notification. That was a great story you told on LinkedIn where they they use the out of office. That's mm-hmm. I love that sort of stuff. Okay, so let's apply that sort of mentality to texting. If you use texting at the right time in the sales cycle, it will time compress the sales cycle like nothing else. Because once you've established some sort of trust hook, you know, with the client, the prospect, now texting is allowed, it's accepted. And as far as TCPA goes, I don't see any issue with it, because TCPA is primarily concerned with auto dialing or auto texting.
Sure.
And it's concerned with when it's used for total marketing purposes, when it's unsolicited.
Yes.
In the case of
so hold on, Mike. I want to hit you on this TCPA thing in just a second, but just taking it one step back on the sales process, right? I mean, where do you see can you pinpoint the top three or five areas where texting can play a role in the sales process? Is there a few things that you feel like are more appropriate or more optimal than others?
Yes. I think that texting ought to be I'm going to kind of go into a rabbit hole here because it's relevant. Let's say that I'm an account executive and I make a phone call out and that customer sends a text message back, right? That can happen. A lot of times where you'll make a phone call to a friend and they say, hey, I'm driving or I'm in a meeting, right?
Yeah.
So let's follow that. Let's say that you're an AE, has their landline activated for texting.
Okay.
And let's say that they call a prospect and that prospect says, hey, I'm driving now or can't talk now.
Okay.
That is an invitation to send a text message back, that alone. So by leveraging, like, you guys are big on local presence numbers. I don't know if that's still a statistic, like 70%. Okay. So if I'm an AE and I'm using local presence, and the idea of local presence is, hey, I'm trying to, you know, kind of, you know, pull the wool over the person's eyes. I'm someone local calling you so I can get the conversation.
Right.
So that person might send a text back, say, hey, who is this? Or I'm driving. Bam. That account executive can now say, hey, Mr. Larson, this is Mike at Inside Sales or at ABC Widgets. And I just was reaching out because, and then you drop the script line or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. The problem, totally Mike, is that a lot of people don't, texting back and forth. So if I call somebody and I do get their mobile and they text me back, they don't know if I'm on a landline or mobile. There's this whole landline versus mobile problem where we don't really know if we're texting somebody or calling someone on their mobile. We don't really know if they're calling us back on a mobile or landline. And so the texting and the mobile, it just feels funky.
Okay. Let me clarify, because you missed a beat. You missed an important step. Whenever someone sends a text, back, or they sent, that's a mobile phone. That is a mobile phone. What ZipWhip has done is said, hey, let's connect mobile phones to landline numbers so that when a customer does text the landline, you can get that.
I
don't know if that makes sense, but that's a big differentiator. And I've talked with a lot of AEs about this and directors and VP of sales. And it's a little nuance that a lot of times they don't have that aha moment until we put them in a pilot and we turn on the number and they say, where do we get all these messages from? Where are they coming from?
Interesting. So just so I understand, so you guys are actually making sure you're breaking down kind of that barrier that as long as they text you, they can text you to your mobile number or a quote unquote a landline, and the sales rep's still going to get it. So there's not this awkwardness of a prospect saying, ooh, did they call me on a landline or not? They can just text them back and it'll make sure that it gets to the sales rep. Is that correct?
Yeah. And that is something that oftentimes is best understood experientially.
I'm sure. Okay?
Because I've been in demos where I've shown them how it works, and 20 minutes into, they're like, no, wait a minute. You're telling me that someone can now text my landline? Because we don't have any construct in our mind for texting an old copper line number.
That's right. That's right.
So ZipWhip has really revolutionized. So
that opens a lot more opportunities for texting to potentially happen. But do you feel like there are key areas? Is it appointment reminders? Is it just whenever you can? I mean, as soon as you, is it in, you know, can I I mean, we'll get into TCPA in just a second, but I guess I can't really reach out blindly. But as soon as I initiate, do I try to just always be on text, or do I do it with closing or appointment reminders or customer renewals? Or when should I or shouldn't I be using texting in the sales process?
Well, you know, on the notification side, we've done some pilots with financial services, and one of them from a pretty reputable big brand, they said that they've decreased their no-shows 40% by using texting.
Because there, you know, there's a lot of appointment reminders, huh?
Yes, because there's a lot of industries out there where you're early in the sales cycle with a prospect, and you want to get a face-to-face, whether it's auto or finance or insurance. And the customer's like, you know, I'm going to blow off this meeting. But that can be a detriment to the salesperson in that they've carved out an hour and they show up and now they're waiting 15 minutes. Do they bail? That's just that impacts cadence, right? And impacts a day in the life of an AE. So with texting, when you send out a text reminder 2 hours before the appointment or the day before, it's so easy for that.
Yeah.
It's so easy for that prospect to say, hey, Gabe, thanks, I'm going to have to bump or, you know, postpone. It's all good. And in fact, it's a texting relationship, which that's a pretty cool thing to start.
So let me ask you one thing about that. The problem, though, often is, and I don't mean to get into feature sets of products, but can I schedule that? Because one of the problems, I mean, I've got all these appointments. If I got to send them one day, that's a little bit annoying. Can I schedule that?
Any software, including ZipWhip, software out there worth its salt, has a scheduled feature where you can top of mind, hit it, and move on.
He's offending me, everybody, because I didn't know that. I mean, I don't know. It sounds like that's Taylor.
It's a good question, Gabe. It ties into, we're all so damn busy. We forget about, some of the basic things that we can be doing. And that's a great question, because scheduling a text, you touch it once and you only handle it once.
I love that.
That's an ADD thing. Is Ohio only handle it once? Most salespeople have some ADD, so they'll be comforted to know that scheduled texting is available in most softwares.
Totally. Okay. I got to ask about the prospecting thing, though. I know we talked a little bit about TCP. I want to ask about it again because, you know, I'm a big prospector. I love when we have the opportunity to reach out to people. You know, cold calling, cold emailing, social, whatever it is. I mean, can I reach out to somebody cold via text? And if not, why not?
Okay. So there's penalties attached. So if someone gets a text unsolicited, they didn't want to get that text, then TCPA, I think it's $500 per text message.
Oof.
Okay. Now, if an AE sends to one client, I don't think that client is going to take the time to say, I'm going to sue you $500 because it's not worth their time. This litigation kicks in is when a brand just goes off the reservation and sends thousands of text messages. There's blood in the water. An attorney comes around and says, hey, I can do a class action here. And then boom, it blows open. So I'm going to kind of go off on a little bit of a limb here and say, for an AE to start sampling with texting, you know, kind of unsolicited, I don't think it's wise. The research says it could have a negative effect because the person's not expecting it. But I don't think TCPA is the biggest concern. I think the bigger concern is you break trust with that client because he got off on a wrong foot by using a channel that they have not invited you to.
Interesting. Okay, so you're saying, you know, the one-offs may not be – I mean, it's certainly not TCPA compliant to do that, but the one-offs probably aren't going to get your hand slapped. I mean – you know, you're probably not going to go some crazy lawsuit if you send, you know, one-to-one person. But you're saying more importantly, there is a little bit of research, not a lot, but a little bit of research out there saying that people may actually have a negative connotation. You start the relationship off on the wrong foot if you get this random cold text. Am I understanding that right?
Yes, but I want to go back to your comment about TCPA. Is it compliant or not? Actually, TCPA, again, is concerned with auto dialing or high volume dialing. That's where TCPA came out of, is these auto dialers that would just blast everyone. Mm. I believe that because ZipWhip approach texting in a person-to-person P2P versus A2P is that if an AE sends a one-off text message to a person and if they put in the signature, hey, to opt out, reply, stop, I don't think there's any issue, any real concerns, because we built ZipWhip to be no different than making a phone call. If I call someone that's on the do not call list, I could run into problems again, but I probably won't get sued.
Yeah.
It's the same with texting. Yeah. I may run into the person may say, who is this? How'd you get my number? You know, quit texting me. But I don't think that it's about TCPA for the AE, unless they do a group, Gabe, if they do a group blast,
they download
500, that's just stupid to do that.
That makes perfect
sense. And no AE worth their salt's going to do that. So, but again, I go back to your example of your,
you never know,
your AEs who did the, you know, use the out of office. That's, that was really genius. And once people start using,
how is that not created by? So just so people who don't know, so I knew this was coming on the mic. You know,
I'm Gabe. I can't hear you right now.
Oh, sorry.
You got a little
bit
fuzzy.
Okay, is that better?
Nope, not yet.
Test.
That's good. That's good.
Okay. So yeah, for those of you who aren't aware, I've been looking forward to this meeting with Mike. So I've been asking people how they're using texting in the sales process. And we had these reps. It was fantastic. You know, I said, hey, what are you guys doing with texting? And a couple of them were kind of smirking, laughing. And they said, over the 4th of July weekend, we were gathering, you know, out of office reminders and people, you know, giving us their mobile or text phone. And all of a sudden it was like, oh my goodness, hey, we can use that. And they started playing around with some text and they had some great results. And so again, it's early in the process, but kind of a creative way. They had permission, quote unquote. So there was a little bit of a debate out there. Was it TCPA compliant or not? But interesting way to use texting potentially in the sales process. So, but Mike, again, I'm stressing, it sounds like that idea that, hey, when it comes down to it, you know, you may want to be cautious in using it when you don't know, because some research out there says it may not be the best. You may actually see a little bit, it may actually drive people a little bit down. Correct?
That's correct. In fact, it's pretty, it can be pretty significant because again, there's, you know, first of all, when we get a cold call, it's already invasive, right? Getting a text from someone, it's unprofessional. Example, I sold a house recently and we had to change real estate agents. So a bunch of agents barraged me when they found out it was off the market temporarily. And some real goofball, just rookie real estate agents sent me these long, hey, man, you don't know me, but I can. I'm like, whoa, dude, I wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole because you're just rookie.
Yeah.
And so I think that texting, because it's such an intimate medium, and can be so effective, you want to protect it. And Gabe, I'll provide this with you so you can send it to your audience. Is that one of the statistics that came out was that texting in the sales process can lead to conversion gains of more than 100%.
Yeah.
However, sending text messages. Yep. However, before establishing contact or rapport, can it adversely affect both contact and conversion rates. So when the relationship, when there's a little bit of a toehold, that's when texting is it's fundamental to introduce into the multi-channel approach, like cadence, email, voice, texting. That I think can, and there's one thing that'll happen. We call it reinvention. When you look at new innovation hitting the market, one of the cool things that happens is reinvention. And that's where the customer starts to do things that, you know, the software company, in this case, ZipWip, we never even thought of, because they took their skill set and they went into the kitchen and created a new recipe with one of our, you know, features, and something totally cool came out of it that is, you know, becomes a secret sauce for them.
Wow. God, fascinating. So one of the problems with texting, Mike, is this, our ability to just get the mobile numbers, right? I mean, I think a lot of people would want to use it more, but they are like, well, I don't have a mobile number, so how the heck am I supposed to text somebody? I mean, is the best way?
Gabe, you're breaking. I'm breaking up again.
Yeah, on the.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, so a lot of people, Mike, are wondering, I want to text more, but I may not have the ability because I don't have the mobile phone number. I love the appointment reminder, but is there a way to get mobile numbers besides asking, or is the best way just to ask for them?
That's great. That's important, because when like many of us know, Chris Beal, Connect and Sell, amazing platform for getting conversations. If that's important to you, should be. But when you get in that conversation, there is some things you start to have some, you know, opportunity. And one of them is you could say, hey, by the way, is this your mobile or your desk phone? Mm. It's an unassuming question. If they say it's my mobile, then you just say, great. And then you like, don't emphasize it, but then you start to, you know, you go into your, you know, wrap up the call. And then one more thing is, hey, by the way, is it okay if I text you a reminder a couple hours before, right?
Yeah.
Totally
yeah.
professional, legit.
That.
And
that.
Now that is, it's, you know, there's a lot of rookie sales moves that take place. Like, you know, not asking, do you have signing authority or what's the next steps? This to me will become a rookie move in the future. If you don't say, hey, by the way, is this a mobile or a desktop phone? Because as a courtesy, I'd like to send you a reminder in case you need to reschedule.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Mike, is there any other way to get mobile phones? I mean, have you found through providers to ZipWhip? I mean, I love the way of kind of bringing it up very professionally and smoothly on the phone call or during your interaction. But any way you found to purchase, buy, or obtain in a different way mobile phone numbers?
Good question. Well, I'm not aware of how to do that, but I am aware of a tool that – it's called ZipWhip, that an AE can look up the phone number and will tell you, is this a mobile number or is it a landline? So you already know. And the beauty of that is that once you've established rapport with that prospect, you are totally compliant with texting them even without asking permission because you have the relationship. Again, TCPA is trying to protect against unwanted business. Once the relationship is established, text away, and with ZipWhip, you can understand whether that's a landline or a mobile number because we'll tell you with a 5-second lookup.
I love it. I love it. So we're getting kind of to the end here. I have a couple more questions. I'd love to continue to debate this. We may have to do a follow-up episode as we continue to dive into the power of texting, but any best practices you've seen? I mean, ZipWhip obviously been at this game for a long time. Is it just shorter the better? Do you always want to use their name or do you, anything you've found within the content of text messaging just to make it more effective and have better quote unquote response rates or reply rate?
Well, that, you know, the notification, that's a big one. And maybe that's not a best practice, but that's a, definitely a feature that's critical. The other one is knowing your audience demographic. If they're a millennial, you know, I guess, what is that between, I don't know, 28 and 40 or something? They're doing a lot more texting than talking. Okay. So that's big, is that knowing what's the
so
response.
Knowing just who you're interacting with, and using that medium. That makes sense. That makes sense.
And then also, depending on for your listening audience, a lot of them will be in, they're in, you know, I mean, they can be in a vertical where it's more transactional. And in that case, using a hyperlink. It's really wise to include a hyperlink because you're trying to get mobile mind share, right?
Yeah.
Google talks about those micro moments. And because people live on their mobile phone, if you text them a hyperlink to maybe a case study or a video, someone could be on the bus or they could be, you know, just
right there,
at lunch, and you send a little link with a 3-minute, you know, video. Oh my gosh, that's powerful, it's emotional, and there's no friction.
I love that. It's going to be interesting to see this continue to emerge, especially in our space, in the sales marketing, sales operations type of arena. So Mike, appreciate it. A little bit over on time, but man, I wanted to keep going. Always more to talk around the space of texting, but I think it's been very informative, certainly for me, as we explore more texting. How can we build it? How can we help facilitate this into the sales process? Again, we don't want to be inappropriate, but we do want to be inappropriate. So, I say that jokingly, but not that. Oh, anyway, so Mike,
we're not going to scale. We're not going to scale the out of office.
That's right.
But that was a great lead in for the call.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. So, Mike, if someone wanted to get a hold of you, learn a little more about ZipWhip, recommendations for them.
You mean like my contact information or?
Yeah. I mean, you're on LinkedIn. They just go to ZipWhip.com.
Absolutely.
What's kind of the best way to kind of learn about you guys?
I love LinkedIn. Link in with me, you know, check out our website, but, probably LinkedIn is the best. Shoot me a message or send me your, you know, and then I want to be watching, the comments. And Gabe, if it's okay, I'd like to, you know, whenever comments come in for the podcast, you know, co-author it with you, because I think that you've definitely started something here that it's an idea whose time has come.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Mike, as always, appreciate it. For our audience, remember, success is just one play away.